From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, you'll hear a message from God's Word brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his studies on the subject of prayer, Dr. Cairns is examining the various elements of what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, Christ gave his disciples, and indeed all of his people, a blessed pattern for prayer. The opening words, "Our Father, which art in heaven," remind us that heaven is God's dwelling place. In this initial portion of the message, Dr. Cairns ponders what is meant by heaven, and what that tells us about the God to whom we pray. First, appropriate to this entire theme of prayer, Dr. Cairns speaks of the inestimable privilege Christians have of access to God.
I'm sure there have been times in your life when you've been facing some immediate problem and you've thought, if I could only talk to my senator, if I could only talk to the president, if I could only get through to some person in a position of real power, if I could only get them to listen to me, I think I could have this resolved. But then you waken up to reality and you find out if you try to contact your senator, normally you're talking to a staff member. Normally your letter will go no further, or you'll get a reply that means nothing to him or to you. You certainly will find it very difficult to get into the White House. If you came to London and you wanted to get to see Her Majesty, you may get to the gates of Buckingham Palace and see whether the flag that shows she's in residence is flying or whether it's not, but you're not going to get inside. So getting access to the people who have the power is really very difficult for most of us. And even for those who can get it, they find that in the long run, it's boosted up a whole lot more than it deserves, because there are so many things that human power cannot have any effect upon. I mean, if you're dying of cancer, you may get to the president, you may get to the queen, you may get to the greatest doctors on earth, you may have the access to you, that you want, to all the places of power and prestige, but it'll not do you any good. At the end of the day, there are certain things that human power cannot affect. Now, when we come to the Word of God, we find a great truth. God's people always, at all times, in all places, under all circumstances, have immediate access to the seat of ultimate power. God rules in the kingdoms of men. He does His will in the heavens and in the earth. There is none can stay His hand or say unto Him, "What doest thou?" He is King of kings, He is Lord of lords. He is all-powerful, almighty. He is the God of glory. His throne rules every other throne. All things are subject to Him, and He works all things according to the good pleasure of His own will. So to have access to that seat of power is the greatest privilege that we can have. And yet that is exactly what Christians have. In Romans chapter 5, verse 2, we are told we have access. In Ephesians chapter 3, this is repeated. We have boldness and confidence. How and why? Because we have access to Him. Now, let me make you understand this. This means there is a way to God. There is a way into the presence of God. This is what makes prayer so powerful. Paul said to the Hebrews in chapter 4, verse 16, let us come boldly, or speaking freely, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There is one at the right hand of the Majesty on high, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world, became a man, united humanity to his eternal deity, and in his humanity deserved and merited a place in heaven by his perfect obedience unto death. He is at the right hand of God, the right hand of the Majesty on high, and he's there as our advocate, as our friend, as our intercessor, as our burden bearer, as our great high priest. Jesus Christ, the righteous, is at God's right hand for us. Through him, we have access to the throne of God. Peter said we should cast all our care on him, because he cares for us. We know that he does all things well. He will give us grace for every burden, or he will remove the burden. He will either take the burden from off our shoulders, or strengthen our shoulders to carry it. Either way, he will hear us. He will answer us. One of the great privileges of being a Christian is to be able to pray, to get through to God, to have access to the throne of God. Make sure, believer, that you do not treat this lightly, but that today you actually spend time exercising your royal prerogative of entering the presence of the King of Kings.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If this series on prayer is helpful to you, you may be interested in obtaining Dr. Cairns's book, The Lord's Prayer, which contains the text of the entire series. You may purchase a copy in a number of ways. You may find the book on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Simply go to the website and click on Web Store. If you prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. However you choose to obtain a copy, you're sure to receive a great blessing as you apply these truths about prayer in your own life.
After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. We're still in verse 9. We have been there for some time now, but we are making a little progress this morning. We've been thinking of the first two words of the Lord's Prayer, and I've said that in many ways they are the most important words in the prayer. And it's only as you understand and enter into the meaning of those words that you can begin to appreciate the greatness of the rest of this great prayer. Our Father. Now those words show us the mercy of God. Now we come today to the next phrase, which art in heaven. And that will show us the majesty of God. Now this title, Your Father which is in heaven, was a favorite one with the Lord Jesus Christ as He spoke with His disciples. And it's especially used in Matthew's account of the Savior's words to His 12 disciples. He speaks of your Father in heaven about 17 times. At least it's recorded 17 times. And in a further 6 occasions, He uses the phrase, Your Heavenly Father. And if you study them, you'll find that they are equivalent expressions. Now, He used these words, obviously, with a very clear purpose. And He intended that the disciples should learn something from this description of God that would shape their very lives. If you look at some of the statements the Savior makes when He uses this description of God, He makes it clear that His disciples should live before men in such a way that they would glorify, He says, your Father which is in heaven. In Matthew 5, He makes clear to them that they should be imitators of God in His kindness even toward His enemies, so that they would show themselves the children of your Father which is in heaven. He tells them that they should practice godliness, not as man-pleasers, but they should do so in the sight of God, so that they would gain the reward of your Father which is in heaven. He tells them that they should not only profess to be His people, but that they should prove their profession. And how would they do that? By doing the will of your Father which is in heaven. That's what proves the reality of Christian profession. And of course, in the text we have read this morning, He tells them that they were to pray, Our Father which art in heaven. Now we must try right at the beginning to understand the significance of this title. It's very vital to all true prayer. Now what does it mean? It's one of those things that you take for granted. But what does it mean, Our Father which art in heaven? What does heaven mean in this connection? Well, I think very simply, heaven tells you where God is and what God is. It tells you where God is because we read in 1 Kings 8:43 that heaven is His dwelling place. Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. Now that immediately raises a problem. We've got to face it. How can we say that there is a place that is the dwelling place of God if God is everywhere present? Now you've got to see what Solomon means when he prays those words. He says, Behold, the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. God Himself says to Jeremiah in chapter 23 of that prophecy in verse 34, Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. So obviously when we're told that heaven is God's dwelling place, the idea is not that there is any place, even heaven, that can contain God. He is not included. He is not bound within the compass of any place, however vast and great. He is omnipresent. When you start studying systematic theology, you find at this stage theologians begin to use words that sound great, but they actually cloak a great deal of ignorance. And they're trying to describe, for you cannot define God. They're trying to describe God and the greatness of God. They try to describe the eternity of God. I've just been pondering that in recent days. Actually, it was about, 3 or 4 o'clock on Saturday morning when I was doing an article for the new edition of my theological dictionary, supposed to be coming out.
Of course, it's been supposed to be coming out for the last 12 years, and I haven't got too far ahead. But anyway, I was doing an article on eternity. Very easy to say the word. Till you stop and think, what does it mean? And especially in relation to God. Theologians glibly say that eternity describes God in relation to time. Well, that's wonderful. What does it tell you? Nothing. Nothing at all. Some will say, well, it's the eternal now. What does that mean? Nothing at all. Because now is a statement of time, and eternity is above time. Similarly, they talk about God in relation to space. And they say, He is immense. The word they use is the immensity of God. And I never forget the beautiful phrase that I learned, I'll not tell you how many years ago when I first had to study this, and it was that God fills all space repletively. It sounds wonderful, doesn't it? But what does it mean? What we've got to say is that God is great. You remember earlier when we were studying the earlier part of this chapter on the subject of prayer, I preached on your Father, which is in secret. God in secret. We touched on one of the great themes of the Bible, that God makes Himself known to us. That is revelation. But we are finite beings. We can only understand so much. And it is very, very little. In this day and age, men are so proud of their wonderful discoveries and the great increase of their knowledge. Well, we must admit, relatively speaking, they have made great strides and great increase in knowledge, but in the sum total of things, man's knowledge would not amount to a grain of sand in comparison to all the shores of the world. When you compare it to the greatness of God, God has revealed Himself to us, and what He has said about Himself we know to be true. But God is incomprehensible in the sense that we can never bring Him within the compass of our little mind. We can never come to the place where we can say, I have God all boxed up. Can't do that. God is immense in the sense that, as the theologians put it, He fills all space repeatedly. Look at your body. Where is your soul in your body? Is it in your head? No more than in your feet. Is it in your hand? No more than in your stomach. But yet if you cut your finger off, you don't cut off part of your soul. The soul fills your body. Repeatedly. But yet, it is not divided through the body. Can we understand that? I don't think so. But we immediately recognize it to be true. Now, do not for a minute believe that I'm saying that God is the soul of the universe. He is not. But I think there was a great deal of truth in the idea of an old English preacher called Samuel Clarke. Said a lot of other things that weren't particularly accurate. When he said we must think of infinite space as an attribute of God. And it only exists because God exists. God, therefore, is omnipresent. But His creatures aren't omnipresent. Even the angels aren't omnipresent. An angel can only be in one place at one time, just the same as you and I can only be in one place at one time. An angel is a finite creature, just the same as we are. So though God is omnipresent, the angels can't be omnipresent. And so in relation to his creatures, God has chosen what the Bible calls the third heaven, or the heaven of heavens, as the place of the fullest manifestation of his power and glory. So when Jesus says, "Our Father which art in heaven," he's speaking of God being pleased to reveal more fully than any other place his personal qualities, his mighty power, his transcendent glory. Heaven tells you where God is.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.